Welcome back to Get With The Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grunler.
Wolverine.
And this is a special Programmatron preview of a topic that came up in discussion during the individual quarterfinals and then gained some steam after we did analyzing the programming, and it was online qualifiers in stage one. I was talking to Brian Friend as he was doing it, and he came across this idea that just conceptualized out of thin air. It's like, man, was this a better test than stage one? And, you know, Bill, we talked about that when we were analyzing the program, and we thought, hey, that should be an episode we talked about. And our friends for Fantasy Fitnessing actually drove the idea home that, yeah, let's just do a whole episode and see what it is. And, you know, before me and you blab about numbers and cents, I think we should bring our favorite deputy onto the show and really bring some number and sense to this podcast.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. Brian Friend and his new microphone to the show.
Listen to it.
Just listen.
Hum us a few bars there, Brian.
We'll lay out.
Morning, guys.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Listen to that.
It's like this drizzling caramel all over us right there.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. About to drop some numbers and cents on your toes. All right. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining the show. Now, this stemmed from the individual quarterfinals, which finished, what, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Time is flying. It's almost May.
Yeah, the season's buzzing along. It feels 2 or 3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
And when it, you know, I wanted to get your perspective as a general athlete taking the individual quarterfinals test, which me and Bill thought it was programmed for the most elite CrossFitters that have actually never graced the earth because of the volume of GHDs they decided to program. And it was good to get your perspective because you had said one thing that stuck with me that we talked when we analyzed the programming was, you know, this seemed like a more balanced test than stage one of the CrossFit games last year for 2020. And then when we brought that up in our analyzing the programming, Fantasy Fitnessing, who did our mega episode bracket, they did the open elimination bracket, which Brian destroyed everybody.
Oh, no.
Did you win the whole thing?
There were a lot of people that beat me. It was just
In our little tiny circle.
Yes.
I was doing well until the last week, and I got 0 points. It was great.
That's kind of like the March Madness, though, where like if you, you know, there's only two games or something in the last weekend. So if you miss them both, then no points.
All my number one seeds got knocked out early. So we'll say that. But Fantasy Fitnessing brought it he's like, hey, we have some info on the topic that you guys had talked about on the show. We're like, send it to Brian. And then, you know, Bill's like, hey, let's do an episode. And what we're going to do is we are going to look at stage one. Or revisit stage one, revisit the quarterfinals, and determine if it was a more balanced and maybe appropriate test than stage one was. And then on top of that, we're going to overlay the athletes who did both competitions and see if there would be a major shift between the two online qualifiers. Is that kind of the basis of what we have going on, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, there's a few athletes who didn't do the quarterfinals due to injury or retirement or whatever. But we have, you know, at least 26, I think it's 26 and 28 who did both tests.
Oh, wow.
So we can, you know, pull that data and look at how they did relative to each other, how the programming compared, how the results differed. And there's a lot we can talk about.
I love it. And so we're going to put off analyzing the team quarterfinals to Thursday, which we will do and we want to do. It's the team / individual quarterfinals part deuce is what we'll call them for now.
You just call it, I just like it part two. Don't even put the team part in there.
There was a reason to. We'll analyze the programming. We'll talk about people's feelings once the program came out. And it's actually had a cool conversation with a member yesterday. And he's like, I don't understand why people are so upset that did both. It's always been. And this is the naive part of people who are looking at it, is like the team events have always been versions of the individual. Or if you want to get into the, well, maybe the team ones were made first and the individual, it doesn't matter because the big disconnect is that when that happens, say like at regionals, the teams and the individuals are completely separate. Neither one of them are crossing over to do the test. In this format, a lot of people did the individual one thinking the teams would be different. And I think that's the big problem. It's like, yes, normally that's not a problem, and we're fine with that. But in this format, you kind of screwed up because the same people are taking the same test now, and that's never happened before.
Well, it's a stupid test. The thing is, like, you're trying to test teams. You're not trying to test individuals on the team. That's the difference. So, like, when we did regionals,
yeah,
regionals was, okay, the team is working. In fact, when everyone, like, the event that everyone went absolutely crazy, got pissed off, how dare they do that, was Dubai's. Dubai did the team,
oh,
and it was basically,
yeah,
individual waterfalling through.
God, what year was that?
And granted, it was
first year. It was December 2018. Yep.
18,
so
yeah.
That there was, I mean, any event can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That was their version of it. That's what they decided to do, wanted to do, whatever.
Yeah.
But that is not testing teams. That's, do you have four really good individuals that can all score well? And then that becomes like you make it a team score. So
yeah, that's what we do in the open.
That's what the problem was. This did not qualify correctly, mm-hmm, teams. Now, the right people get there? Yeah, because you have great athletes, and I mean, they're going to be able to make up good teams, whatever. But
yeah,
the element of the team aspect is not just overall fitness, because your best teams aren't always your most fit, mm-hmm, groups of individuals. It's
right,
how they put it all together. And that's part of the team element.
Yeah. And that's part of what we'll go in when we analyze the programming. This program trying episode will be exclusively for the individual side, but that also spurs another episode that we want to talk about, is maybe revamping the team competition, whether it's online qualifiers, how to use or make use of your alternates, and what the appropriate way could be to incorporate all of that. Otherwise, what's the point? So that's another Programmatron episode to go along with this one, and maybe one in the future that Brian was on board with when we were talking about it. It's like, what the greatest CrossFit Games affiliate team ever assembled. And I was going back and forth with Tommy Marquez about this randomly, because in my head, like, when these events got released, like, CrossFit Mayhem may never lose an event the rest of the year. Just the way they're assembled with their four, and especially with their two girls, with Andrea and Taylor.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what was the best ever? And I was like, well, I had my idea, and, you know, Tommy had his, and then Brian threw in, like, NorCal of 2015. We're like, well, since we're all arguing about it, maybe we can look at that one day. So needless to say, we have a lot of content coming down the pipe. I'm really excited about this. I can't wait to get into the teams on Thursday. But today is dedicated to the individual. So what we want to do is, we're going to take stage one of the CrossFit Games for the 2020 last year, of where the pool was your top 30 athletes out of the open. And then the 10 sectional.
The 20 from the open and the 10 sanctional winners or qualifiers that had already happened.
Yeah, so your top 30 qualifiers for stage one, which eventually qualify the top five to go to Aromas, and then the individual quarterfinals, which actually was a qualifier for the semifinals this year. And we want to see if one test was better than the other. And we'll let Brian take it from here. So what we want to see is, you know, how is the setup? You know, what numbers are you looking at? Some people are missing, who they were, and really, how are you going to navigate the two sides, whether it's for pros and cons?
Wait, before Brian hops in there, I think it's important, Chase, for me and you to say our initial, what you think is a better test, right? Before we get started,
because
the numbers may, as we dive into everything, kind of stir it all up, that may definitely change by the end. So
okay. What
do you think? What do you think is better?
I think, so when I look at the quarterfinals for the field that we're comparing right now, which is the top 30, I think the quarterfinals was a more balanced test than stage one was, to find your top five based off time frames, modalities, movements, difficulty. I'm going quarterfinals is my vote, because, you know, stage one was stage one, but it was like the big hoopla was there's like three or four events all in the same time domain and basically the same workouts of like fast couplets and then the single modality things in there. And there's just a lot of There was a lot of weirdness in stage one. The quarterfinal weirdness was more relegated to the field that we were looking at, right? The test of the whole field. But if I analyze it for the top 30, not knowing what the numbers are, so I'll say that, I don't know. I just feel that quarterfinals might have been a more balanced test across all five.
So I tried not to look too much at the, like, I stayed away from the numbers for the sole purpose of I wanted to look at what the events were. The problem is I really liked stage one for what it was. And again, it's difficult to not be able to put the filter of everyone's still stuck at home and, you know, we don't have as many things to choose from, as many pieces of equipment, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. There are, I loved stage one, minus a couple things. Like, I didn't like the handstand hold, thought that was stupid.
Yes, you did.
It was a complete waste of time. Not a waste of time. I just don't think that wasn't something that should have been at the games. That was a softball throw to me. Same kind of deal. But all the other things, I really like. I liked the Awful Annie. I liked the Damn Diane. I loved the Nasty Nancy. I thought those events were awesome and were perfect for the athletes that were there.
Yeah.
That were at that level.
I'm not saying I disliked stage one.
You what?
I'm just saying what I liked more.
Oh, no, totally, totally. You know, and then I look back at the quarterfinals, and you know, obviously with the GHD, I mean, we already talked about the GHD thing a bazillion times, and like that to me doesn't make it a games level competition overall. I think that event was programmed a little odd, but there were elements of that I wish we could blend it, because I would have rather have had the 4 rep max front squat rather than the 1 rep max front squat, like in the quarterfinals, stuff like that. I like the fact that there were other elements, you know, gymnastic-y type elements that the only thing they really had in the stage one basically was the handstand hold. I mean, they're the bar muscle ups, but the hands or the
chest to bar pull-ups.
That's all they had. There was that
handstand push-ups
and the handstand push-up. So, like, I wish there would have been a little bit more high skill stuff. But for purpose of argument, I will say that I liked stage one better than quarterfinals. I think quarterfinals was inappropriately programmed for the stage it was in. I think that should have been a semifinal.
Got it.
But not a games level.
All right.
So I'll go that route just for the sake of argument.
Well, it's a good thing we have two opposing views and a third party who is more objective than most. Definitely more objective than at least B. Brian, go through, let's just go through your process here.
Yeah, so I think the one of the reasons why this is an important conversation is because we're still in this global pandemic situation. And as a result of that, that's why we had stage one last year. We would have had this quarterfinals online anyway, but now we know that at least half the semifinals are going to also be an online test. And the understanding that I have at least is that it's going to be programmed by CrossFit, so that it's a uniform test for the athletes in the regions that are taking on those. I think all the virtual ones are the last 2 weeks of competition.
Oh, so the virtual ones will be the same?
I believe so.
Okay.
And so if that's the case,
that's fair,
and CrossFit's programming them, then this will be their third attempt at programming a weekend-long competition that's advancing athletes into the next stage of the competitive season.
They've also had that with, like, the online qualifiers. You're talking about just for
individuals?
Like, this isn't their first time doing this. I mean, they have done this now for a while. Online, the age group online qualifiers, obviously the open.
Right.
Obviously getting specific.
So of course they have the experience with the age group online qualifiers. And I actually also have been under the impression that part of the reason why the team competition and the individual quarterfinals competitions were similar is because And where I don't think that the age group online qualifier will be the same test is because they view that differently as a test that's sending athletes specifically to the games, directly to the games. And so they, you know, they view that as a next step in the season as opposed to the
quarterfinal. I hope it's different.
I don't know. I'm ready to do 180 GHC. I don't know what you're talking about.
If it's not different, I'm not going to do it.
It's not going to be different. It will be a scale. I'm betting you it'll be a scaled down version.
No, they won't do that.
Yep, they'll do 150 GHCs. For the 65 plus division.
I think I won't be surprised if it's the same, but if I was betting on it, I would bet that it'll be different.
I'm gonna go with Brian hope.
So I think that it's important that we recognize, you know, in terms of the individual competitive field, they had this stage one, they had the quarterfinals, and they're gonna probably be programming another one in a month or two. And so my hope is that some of the maybe flaws that we're going to identify in both of these will be corrected or at least improved upon in the semifinal format. And, you know, that should always be the goal for whatever the company or the competition or the programmer is to evolve and continue to improve. So in looking at it, you know, what the guys from Fantasy Fitnessing sent me was they took the athletes who from stage one of the games, who also competed in the quarterfinal, put them on a spreadsheet and put all their scores in and then ranked them according to their scores and applied the scoring system that was used in stage one of the games. So it's 100, it's 100, 96, 92, and then it filters down from there.
I didn't think about that part because the scoring system was different.
Mm-hmm. Right. For the quarterfinals, it was like, if you got first place, you got 1 point.
Yeah,
in this format that we're evaluating today, they did the same workouts and got the same scores, but if they had the top score out of these 26 or 28 athletes, they got 100 points instead of one.
So are you choosing what scoring system are you going to choose for this one? The way they look at it?
Stage 196, one? 92, okay. Et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's the same scoring system.
Well, because
that was
it's
used
a game, because that's game
one.
Scoring. That's right. Because we're looking at game scoring rather than open level scoring.
Got it.
Yeah. And what we're looking at here is if the quarterfinals had been the selection process to choose five to compete at stage two of the game. So we need to use the same scoring system. So then we have the men and the women, and we can see the results. And then after we have the results, we can see that there's going to be some, you know, big shifts. People who moved up five spots, 10 spots, 15 spots, or the inverse that dropped down 10 or 15 spots on the leaderboard relative to only a field of 26 or 28. There's some very big changes. And so we ultimately need to ask the question, why has that happened?
Okay.
And why have other athletes finished basically exactly the same?
Because of a static can't stand hold?
Right. So, yeah, it definitely could be the test. The programming is different. Maybe, you know, don't even want to say better or worse right now, but just different. We already know that one of them has seven events and one has five events. So that's immediately a big difference.
Right.
But look at the movements, the combinations of movements. And then the other thing is just the timing in the season, right? The stage one was actually the game. So we can assume a different level of preparation and intensity for the athletes competing there relative to the quarterfinals, where probably most of these athletes felt pretty confident advancing. So maybe they didn't have to peak in the same way. And we can talk about how that potentially affects things.
Okay. What we know we had 30 last year, and we said we had 28 and 26?
26 men.
That did the same test?
28 women.
Okay. Who's not in it this year?
So the men who did not compete are Matt Fraser and Jacob Heppner, who have both retired. David Cherunke, who was injured prior to the Open, said he would not be able to finish the Open and compete this year. And then Luke Schaefer, I don't know why, but he didn't participate in the quarterfinals.
Hmm.
For the girls, it's just Sarah Sigma's daughter and Jamie Simmons, who are both out with injury this season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So definitely missing some big names.
Jamie hurt her shoulder.
The shoulder thing?
Right? I think she hurt her shoulder or something.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, she made a post right before the Open started that she would be, you know, she thought she would be able to recover from whatever was bothering her, and
that's too bad.
Was unable to. So she's sitting the season out and helping Elliot.
Well, you know, power couple.
That's fair.
Power couple. All right, so go through our couple bullet points of what we're using as an overall view of this. Scoring system, making it an even.
Yeah. So we're neutralizing the scoring system, using the same scoring system. We'll look at the rankings of the athletes. We'll look at the events that were programmed, the, you know, balance between monostructural weightlifting and gymnastics within the gymnastics realm. We can talk about like the pushing and pulling, and then Also, you know, the timing of the season, and you know, a little bit, it's going to be speculative when it comes to certain athletes at some point, but
yeah,
the data is there. There's athletes that perform drastically better and athletes that perform drastically worse, you know, between these two competitions.
Sweet. We're going to get into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Bill, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, if you guys are ready to get into us, this is a Programmatron exclusive episode. So go to patreon.com/getwiththeprogramming. Join our Programmatron tier for just $6 a month, and you can hear the rest of this episode as Brian Friend breaks down the battle between Stage 1 and the individual quarterfinals of 2021. Bill, Programmatrons. Brian, see you on the other side.